Welcome to the On the Pursuit podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Pursuit podcast, where we interview 6, 7, 8-figure earners. We try to figure out what are some of the moves they made that were imperfect that led up to their success. And in today's episode, I got actually one of my dream 100s sitting here with Sean Kendall, author of YouTube Secrets and founder of Think Media. What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. I'm excited to have you on the show. Back in Vegas, shout out to Omar for actually planting the seed and making everything happen.
The pursuit.
For real, man.
Ready to build.
On the pursuit, man. So I've always been inspired by, just the content you put out, the frequency of the content, and like the audacity of all, like, you just giving everything away, man.
Yeah.
So like, where did that energy kind of originate from, right? Because there are a lot of people that feel like if I give it away, I can't monetize, right? They try to hold things back. But you're definitely the opposite. You know, if you watch from the podcast to like your personal content to just Think Media content, like you can study that and like really get some wins, right? So what was the mindset behind like just really giving all the sauce away?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's probably three things. The first was it's hard to get noticed. So lead with your best stuff. And I think the fear is if I give away my best stuff, then, you know, I'm not going to have anything else. So that leads to number two, which was just this pursuit to have so much depth that if I give away my best stuff, then it creates like a vacuum for me to go get better.
Yeah.
So just finding that, how deep do you really go? And so my pursuit is to continue to learn, level up, kind of like emptying cash from your bank account into an investment, and I got to fill my bank account back up.
That's a great analogy.
It's kind of like emptying the reservoir of knowledge to just say, because there's a lot more, reading more on marketing, psychology, business. And so even in the practicality of teaching YouTube, like there could be greater depths that we could teach. And by creating that vacuum of giving away incredible information, then if our free stuff is that good, then our paid stuff has got to be even better. And that's not fluff or marketing hype. It just is actually kind of my personal DNA and then the DNA I've tried to put into our culture. But then number three is I think people overestimate like how noisy the world is. People underestimate how noisy the world is. Like if we're giving away podcasts and we do free challenges and classes and videos, like even if you give away quote unquote everything you have, the world is so noisy, there's still a time and place for a course or a workshop or an event because people can't even keep up with how much you're putting out. Two, even if they hear something one time, they need to hear it more.
Yeah.
And then three, like some people will never even buy a course. So you would never reach them anyways. But now if you give away great stuff, the people who are on that level of just free or kind of surface consuming, you can monetize with ads or affiliates. That kind of brings me to a fourth point I'll come back on, which is having enough diversity in the way you monetize that it doesn't matter which level people engage. But like your course or your deeper thing is just such a different environment. Like our course is over 40 hours long. And so some people want all the right steps in all the right place. They want the workbook. They want that structure. Smart people value their time. So they don't want to just look at random information with brand deal spots everywhere and all this different stuff they have to assemble from your podcast and everything else. They want the shortcut. But some people don't.
Yeah,
so you serve both in that case.
That's a great point.
I've never found that giving away our best information or great information on a podcast or a YouTube video hurts sales. It helps sales. Because there's a certain person that wants to invest in, just like me. I want to save time by purchasing A to Z in a course so I don't have to like dig through someone's podcast or whatever. But it's by engage. This is, I think, the mistake people make. If they hold back, you're going to lose because there's so much competition. You want to give away stuff that's so amazing that someone listens to your podcast, your show, and goes, dude, that's fire. They're paid.
So you're talking about giving away your competitors' best stuff.
Well, sure. I mean your own best stuff. Yeah. Like, and what I've learned is, like, if you're deep enough, your subject matter kind of matters too, because YouTube and online marketing and video is such a deep subject. There's like so much to learn that, you know, it makes sense. And then I think knowing that there's also the community aspect, that while people can consume on the content side, you know, when they invest with us, they get to be a part of a community and they get more support and they get more access. So I think that's also the difference where, like, we're in the information age. There's a lot of information out there, but you don't necessarily have that deeper level of community. And being and paying to be a part of a community is also an edge. That's also why, like, a mastermind makes sense, because is it really the content you're going to learn there, or is it the community and the connections? But then number four, what I love about our model is if people just watch free content, YouTube pays us. If people just watch free content, there's also like affiliate marketing or brand deals because of the audience you grow. So if you give away incredible free content and you grow a big audience, the level, the ways you can monetize that are numerous and deep.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's the paid side, which is a percentage of people, you know, that want to engage with you at a deeper level. So you have both, not just one. So it becomes a much more dynamic business. And again, I think that what I've learned is people, the world's so noisy. If you were disciplined, I would respect the person who grabbed a journal and watched every single Think Media video, every video influencer's video, listen to every podcast. Like, they could, you could piece together quite a bit there, but people are engaging with you at all different times in the journey. Like, they're just subscribing this month. They're just subscribing this week. Mm-hmm. So it's their choice. They, some people understand the wisdom of, like, I'm just going to buy a video ranking academy. That's, I mean, to dig through that and to figure it out, and it's not all necessarily relevant. Wait, for online course creators, you're creating your proprietary process, your proprietary system, the right steps in the right order, in the right sequencing. It's like baking a cake with the oven at the right temperature and all with the support of our faculty, which would be the other coaches and people that are inside of the program. And people understand the wisdom. If they value their time, they understand that time is money. It's a small price to pay to get that level of engagement. So when someone just meets us, they're like, oh, rather than go through the library, I'm going to go through the course that's going to walk it through step by step. And so it's worked for us. I mean, that's kind of my thinking.
What's up, y'all? It's Brendan Boyd, speaker, productivity coach, and host of the On the Pursuit podcast. And I want to talk to you all about my brand new book, The 8 Secrets to Success Playbook. Now, this playbook is jam-packed with all sorts of value. So if you're a coach or a consultant or an expert and you're looking to 5X or even 10X your business, you definitely want to grab a copy of this playbook. I'm talking about conversions, lead generation, high ticket offer, continuity offer, the power of speaking, the power of making a book for yourself, promoting, advertising is all in this playbook. So you definitely want to make sure that you grab a copy. Click the link below, get a copy of your playbook, and I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. I mean, I'm happy to be in Video Ranking Academy myself. So I've experienced it. I've been in the community, like, you know, obviously in the virtual group, but then also taking advantage of, like, the live sessions, right? And, you know, I've always get something from it, and it, you know, it's definitely have helped, you know, grow my channel and just help me just kind of, like, make better content, you know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, like, the way that's laid out and organized and, you know, being able to, like, get on the Zoom and then ask those questions like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Or I did it this way, and, you know, just be able to get those corrections, you know, paying, if even if you do the payment plan, which I think was like $99 a month, that level of support is super worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, obviously, if you're subscribed to this channel, what you're going to get from, you know, you and the team. So it's high level all the way. So I would agree, like, putting out the best stuff, you know, really, like, building your blue ocean in that, in the bloody red ocean of everything that is YouTube. Like, obviously this, you know, you search anything, an abundance of things are going to come up, but there, you know, the way that you say it, the way that you present it, you know, the way that you create it and put it out there is authentic to you, and you'll be able to, like, you know, get your own audience. So I would agree with you, man.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So what I did want to ask you is with like the emergence of, so I had two questions specifically, but with the emergence of like AI, how do you think that like helps creators now? You know, to make content maybe easier or more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shout out to Roger, who's here with me today, but he made a good point on a ride over. He's like, yo, pretty soon, it'll just be like an AI version of you. It might not even be you, but it has your own nuances, your cadences, and all of that, that could literally host the podcast or whatever the case may be. So how do you feel like AI is really making an impact right now on creators?
Yeah, you know, I think that AI isn't going to replace creators, but you're going to get replaced by a creator who is using AI if you don't use it. So it's kind of like, you know, there's this old movie. This is deep cuts right here, but it was called Universal Soldier by Dolph Lundgren was in it and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
And these soldiers were enhanced by technology. So they were humans, but then they had, you know, you have like the cyborg guy, and people are using that in their thumbnail these days with all the AI stuff. And so it's kind of like modernized cyberpunk. It was this idea that we would take humans, but we would have like a bionic arm or like, you know, superpower strength on a spinal cord thing that'll make you, it was enhancing humans. So that's how I think AI, I don't know if there'll be a digital avatar that like understands you, that you input the questions and then like you don't even have to interview somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if people would engage with that. I actually think there'll be a premium on human connection, human. However, AI though is here to stay and completely relevant. And so what I also think is exciting is for a lot of solo creators that feel like, you know, it's hard to compete with Think Media now because we have a team. We got more money, we got a team. And if you think the ultimate time hack is how can I crush my competitors? Well, because it's not them versus Sean if someone's coming on the game. It's them versus our team of nearly 30 people, counting contractors. That is the ultimate time hack, is you have multiple people working to solve a problem. But where does now the solo creator get an advantage? A friend of mine that runs a company just fired their copywriter, kind of brutal, but they're like, we literally don't need you to write emails for us anymore, or blog posts or all this stuff, because ChatGPT literally just made your job irrelevant. Not because now a robot just does the job, but because they don't need a 40-hour person doing that, now somebody that's intelligent in 5 hours can leverage ChatGPT write all the emails.
Facts.
You still have to have the wisdom to finish them and make them right. So it's sort of like when it comes to take even micro content, you take GetMunch or Vidyo, which is VIDYO.AI, and you put your YouTube videos in that, and it finds clips from your longer show and puts it into vertical or square and captions it for you, and just so quickly, and it's really good. Like the discernment that AI has to find some fire clips and when to start, you know, I had to tweak the end a little bit, you know, like go a little bit longer on the end. But nevertheless, you know, people go, we have a real human editing micro content for us. AI is pretty dang close to find clips from your longer video. So if somebody was like, I want to take my main YouTube video or video podcast and turn that into some vertical clips on YouTube Shorts, but then Instagram Reels and TikTok, like they can do that. And so that one activity, vertical video is blown up. You should be multiplying your long form content into vertical content. AI just gave you the ability to do that. So for a very, it also, another image, it makes me think of like the one man band where the guy's like playing the harmonica and he's got like the drum in the front and he's like playing the, you know, it's also like a, you know, whatever you'd call, what do you call those things that are the wind tool?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know what you call that thing. I know what you're talking about. It's escaping me too.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, and they're tapping some percussion on their feet. And so for the person who becomes good at managing different AI tools, softwares and whatnot, I actually think it makes the solopreneur or the side hustle opportunity of earning extra money online, crushing social media, super relevant. And I think that's exciting. That's my perspective on it. I think it's something to lean into for sure.
So it's definitely an opportunity. So like you said, like somebody could come in right now, observed like what are some of the issues or what are some of the things that can make it easier, right? Because there are also probably creators out there that are like really like set in the way that they're doing things.
100%.
Right? And then someone that maybe not even in the game right now, maybe don't even have an offer, but can observe what's going on with AI, can use these different technologies, like the different softwares that you mentioned, and then present a creator like, hey, listen, I can handle this, this, and this, and I can come to you and, you know, you can pay me this, which may be maybe a little bit for some of them to make a commitment, or maybe they save a lot of money, but then, like you said, they're able to now do so much more, you know, with someone kind of managing that stuff.
It's a big freelance opportunity too, because again, the truth is these AI tools are still going to be a dead end for the person who doesn't have the strategic intelligence.
Yeah, that's important.
Or doesn't have like even the understanding of social and execution or how to use the tool. But imagine you just do the premium program of an AI tool like GetMunch, but then you serve 10 content creators.
Yeah.
Because I would love to hire that person. What the thing that you want to, that becomes the difference maker is the intuition. So I'm in a different business groups, right? With people and everybody, like 100% of kind of like speaker, author, coach, business owners that want to build a personal brand, all want to do YouTube. They all want to do more social media, and they all struggle with finding creatives. They're out there, but that's not there. They don't know how to find them. And they're like, I wish somebody would take my stuff and like multiply it on social media.
So what you're saying right now, not to cut you off, for people that are paying attention, you're saying that there's an opportunity right now for people that are authors, that are business owners, that are founders, maybe service-based providers, that are looking for someone to come in
yeah.
and kind of
I think it's
them
the biggest
that.
Freelance opportunity yeah. right now. And 100% of people I talk to are specifically looking for like YouTube channel managers, by the way. Like they really want help with that shredder, shooter, producer, editors for like YouTube and somebody that understands, you know, the macro and micro content. But all that to say is if you took that one tool, for us, when we do applications, video editors are a dime a dozen if all you do is edit video.
Yeah, facts.
And you need to be micromanaged. Like you tell me where the edits are. You tell me yeah. how to hook the video. It's like, well, no. Like it, just because you know how to use the tool, it's do you have the intuition to think about which was the hottest moment of and clips from the actual video to put in front that will grab viewer attention? Do you, even though you plug something into AI, when I use video.ai and I use one of my YouTube videos just testing it out, there was like 8 clips. The first 3 were probably not good enough to share, but the AI still pulled all 8 out. Then number 4, I was like, that's pretty fire.
Mm.
So it still takes intuition. It still takes... Like the most premium skills are going to be people that understand emotional intelligence, human psychology, online marketing at a human to human level, not just a data AI level.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a premium. Storytellers is going to become a premium as well, like knowing how to tell a story. AI may not be able to pull those pieces out, you know. It might take a while. So if you can have the intuition of basically how to be a great communicator, I mean, honestly, communicators own the future. Like the future belongs to the communicators. And if you can then DJ those tools, you still could be
that was a good way.
You know, you'd be the middleman for these different people that still want the help. Cause even if they just have the tool, they're still too busy. The founder, CEO, author, like they're probably not gonna sit down and plug their stuff into GetMunch and still end up posting it. Like they're still looking for that person. But you also might be able to even make an agency.
Yeah, fact.
Instead of leveraging VAs, which that works too, you're leveraging AIs to, and you're just the conductor of that orchestra, and you could, you know, service your clients well and make a good living doing it. And there's a lot of opportunity there.
And a lot of people do want like real channels right now too. So even if they, you know, don't have the long form yet, they can at least get that going because that's really moving a lot right now, right? So for, well, shorts, I should say, not reels, but for YouTube, right? Two, you know, amazing things happen, I would say, relatively, you know, recently. Obviously, you got the emergence of shorts, which is, you know, getting a lot of, like, you know, pull from the algorithm, but then also, like, the podcast platform.
Yeah, big.
And, you know, like, I'm a podcaster. You know, I mean, we're on the podcast right now. I mean, you got a podcast. And, you know, the industry is, like, so vast, right? It's, you know, it's probably over $100 billion right now. YouTube just invested in it heavily, right? They have a whole podcast platform. So, you know, I recently, you know, just moved all my podcast clips over to that podcast playlist because that's the one that they're earmarking specifically for podcasts. But I realized that, at least not yet, like, the RSS feed isn't pushing to, you know, podcast platforms, like the audio versions, but I'm like, oh, that's coming.
Yeah.
Because, like, why would YouTube not have you,
right,
everything just go there? So I'm like, oh, that's coming. So right now for podcast entrepreneurs, right, you know, because a lot of them aren't making revenue, right? They're waiting for YouTube money. They're waiting for brand deals. They're waiting for sponsorships. If they're a podcast right now that's moving, how do you feel like they can position themselves really well on YouTube now with YouTube really, like, making this a place for podcast entrepreneurs?
Number one, move fast. Because this isn't brand new. YouTube specifically said there's going to be 3 new discoverability traffic ways. The badge, the podcast badge, and there's like 2 other ones. By classifying, right, a playlist as a podcast, upload the square image.
Mm-hmm.
So optimizing the video, rather the video podcast properly, We have to wait until it's distributed on YouTube Music, but it'll be ready. And what my biggest tip, number one, is don't take shortcuts when it comes to optimization.
Mm.
Like, especially search engine optimization and YouTube being a search engine. So don't take shortcuts in your show description, your show notes, your title, your images. It may just be your square image, but now it's on YouTube, so you want to have a great thumbnail so that it has its own merits on YouTube. Learn the language of YouTube. And some of the questions when I really get strategic with people, they ask, do you title your YouTube video podcast different than your audio podcast? I'm like, well, normally we don't really, but that would be the ultimate best practice.
Mm.
The best practice would be to always plate, like if you were plating a meal at a nice restaurant, the size of the plate, the china you're using, the garnish, the reduction, the plum reduction that you're putting around the medium rare filet mignon, you know, all of those details are plating it properly for the experience of that particular dish,
yeah,
that particular restaurant, and that particular experience. So when I was asked a question the other day in kind of a business mastermind, I was like, yeah, number one, most of us are probably too busy, too stressed, too overwhelmed, and still learning new skills to truly be like a master chef in terms of plating up these different dishes in different places. But yeah, YouTube should be titled the best way it possibly can. And I think I'm kind of getting granular here towards your question, but it's like, in some ways, people go, do I try to use my video podcast to promote my audio podcast? And I think that's the wrong way to think about it. I think that YouTube is entirely its own experience.
Yep.
The people that are watching video are there. They may never know you have an audio podcast. And things like even the show number, like right now, my goal is to delete hashtag Think Media Podcast out of all of our podcast titles, because with the new feature, it's irrelevant, because once it's in the playlist,
yeah,
it's associated. So that just wasted a bunch of characters. So the title can either be cleaner. And then our question was, well, do we put the show number in there? Which is weird, because if you go hashtag the show number, it's a clickable hashtag to an irrelevant number that, yeah, in isolation, if they click 157, it has nothing to do with anything. Everybody else's hashtag 157. And so
that's a really good point.
Then I'm like, yeah, so if we remove the name, and we should remove the show number, but then Steph on our team were like, well, in the playlist, it's numbered wrong, because it's actually numbered counting. It's the newest episode, which would be number one in the playlist, but it's actually episode 212 and always changing. But then the debate is, does it even matter?
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess the point is, number, as I say this, this is going to be a moving target. And it's just the idea of considering the cultivation of each episode and just teeing it up for its best possible performance. I do think some people get too married to their branding, their name, their format, and they should be married to what's effective.
Yeah, yeah.
They should be in pursuit of, you know, would you rather, some people lead, the wrong way to lead your YouTube video is the brand name first, like the show number second, and then the actual topic last, it gets cut off with dot, dot, dot. Nobody even cares about your brand name. They don't know you yet. So it's in the mindset of, can you write a great title? The people who are listening are already subscribed. Now, you do want them to be able to find the right episode in the right order, but like there's a lot of tensions. But the real opportunity, and you asked at the foundation of this question, someone's trying to get discovered. They're trying to get viewership. They're trying to grow. And then they're trying to monetize. Your biggest opportunity is to put out banger episodes, optimized properly, that have the chance of reaching new people to grow a following so that brands want to pay you because there's people actually listening to you. So I would prioritize being effective, how, you know, optimizing episodes properly, leaning into YouTube. And then in a way, to just close the loop, I'm like, we in a way treat our audio podcast different. To that, actually, we lead with the show number. It's 001 colon, and now we're at 212. Very short,
yep,
just so it's very easy to see. But that's being aware of what it's like to listen on Spotify or Apple and the mindset of an audio podcast listener. I view them as the same thing and entirely different.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is two different experiences. And like you said, There's people that may like love you on the actual like YouTube version of your podcast that never even listened to you on the audio, or vice versa.
Right.
But they may, you know, they maybe they love the audio and they're like, oh wow, you have, I can see this now, right? So they go on YouTube and check it out.
What's up, y'all? So I want to take a second to speak to my creators. So whether you currently got a podcast or think about launching a podcast, maybe you got a YouTube channel and you think about launching a YouTube channel. Here are the facts. Did you know that 9 out of 10 creators actually quit because they don't have anyone to hold them accountable? That's why all you need to do, right? Click that link below, join my Action Takers community, because not only are we gonna hold you accountable, we're gonna teach you how to execute at a higher level. Plus, give you access to principles and strategies to grow your mindset and generate more revenue. So what are you waiting for? Click that link below and join one of the fastest growing content and accountability communities, all right? I'll see you on the inside.
So what's very interesting, you know, staying on the podcast subject is like the monetization piece to it, because, you know, I teach podcasters how to monetize. I mean, I guess I'm a podcasting coach in a sense, right? And a lot of them kind of run into the same thing. Like, I, you know, I hear some of these conversations and it's like merch, you know, wanting to make money from, you know, Google AdSense.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously they're hoping to get a brand deal,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you're just starting off, those things are kind of a little further down the line, right? So I kind of teach them like other ways that they can start to get money now, right? So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that you're seeing for podcast entrepreneurs to be able to really like monetize?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cool opportunities for podcasters specifically to monetize. You mentioned Google Ad revenue, so that is going to be off YouTube views if they're doing a video podcast. My prediction is that when video podcasts start to get distributed on YouTube Music, that just like they run ads on Spotify, if you're not paying for premium, that then YouTube will run audio-only ads on the YouTube Music listens of the podcast, so that if you get positioned now and grow your following, that'll be Google AdSense, I imagine, but it'll be a whole nother channel getting paid.
Exactly.
And so that is something to get a position for. I think another one is, depending on what you can get your downloads to and the value you can create in your past library, I think dynamic ads is a big one that podcasters should think about. So we use Buzzsprout, and we can add a dynamic ad to our entire past library in just like that. So we could record, hey, before we get into this episode. Now, we use this for our own stuff, which is something is another one we should talk about in a second. But like, you could sell a brand, you're like, oh, my episodes only get 500 downloads each. However, now that I'm on episode 200, you can do it. It's just a CPM calculation and a downloads calculation. If you can promise them that they're going to get a certain number of downloads and your past library, you can insert dynamic ads. And I think that a lot of people don't know about the opportunity of doing that, and that'd be a skill set to learn.
Yeah.
Your biggest opportunity, though, is just the value of even the small audience that you've gotten by getting leads and having some kind of an offer. So if similarly, you could insert a dynamic ad and say, hey, by the way, we just created a new challenge. We just created a new downloadable PDF. We just created a new free gift. Grow an email list and have some kind of an offer that's either going to be a do-it-yourself, done with you, or done for you kind of a thing. Create package what you know into an online course that gets a result. Do, you know, some coaching or support, or create a cohort or some kind of a group thing, or have some kind of an agency and even have a done for you offering for your audience. And so ultimately, we have a lot of Jen DeVore in our community had 546 subscribers on our YouTube channel. And she sent us an email, one of our Video Ranking Academy students, and she said, thank you so much. I just have it at $11,000 a week. And she said, you know, this is my record-breaking week for me. Hear me. She had 546 subscribers at the time.
Oh, I heard you.
Her channel's bigger now, but she's not going viral. She's not even really super known, but I think it's getting clear on, like, who do you serve? What problem do you solve for them? And this shocks a lot of people. One of the most consistent hater comments or troll comments that we get is, oh, you're just a snake oil salesman telling everybody they're going to be famous on YouTube. And I go, assuredly, I am not. In fact, I'm very bold about saying, you're probably not going to be famous on YouTube. You're probably not going to be a superstar podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can build an incredibly lucrative business being unknown. I'm also not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah.
And so when you look, 99% of people don't realize that there are people with 546 subscribers.
Oh, it is a lot.
Making $11,000 every week.
Yeah.
And that is the massive opportunity that is hidden in plain sight that's happening in this world. A lot of the haters and critics are coming from the perspective because they're projecting their own situation of being broke, of not getting monetized yet, and even getting monetized and being like, I only made $5.50 off YouTube ad revenue. You know, I only got paid super low by a brand. You've given away your personal power if you're actually looking for those types of things at the early stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's what business model can you build? It's can you get really clear on some of the opportunities that are happening that are hidden in plain sight? And we celebrate in our community that like all of our students in like Video Ranking Academy a lot of times are the wealthy hidden. They're the financially successful, non-famous YouTube creators that aren't doing the Mr. Beast model, that are doing like the, you know, hidden model. And so that's, I think, where the real opportunity is for podcasters as well. I think that I'd read the book Positioning. It's a classic book. I'd pick up that one, and even Marketing Warfare, if you want, by like Jack Trout on this book, and figure out like a small corner of the market and a problem you can solve. With your, you think their competition is too much? It's not true. Only is true if you go against the people who have already dominated certain things.
Yeah.
Just find a small piece of the market that you can kind of cut out, serve, focus on. And there are 6- and 7-figure businesses all over the place, but it definitely takes some strategy, some positioning, and the right approach.
So one of the things I didn't hear you say, but I know it's pretty interesting, right, for podcast entrepreneurs to build a community off of the podcast, like a paid community off of the podcast, where they can, offer, obviously, exclusive content. You know, maybe like, let's say you and I had like a 2-minute chat that wasn't on a podcast. Boom, that's an exclusive, right? Maybe I'm like, hey, I got Sean coming in this month to give like a 20-minute session for all the people in the community, right? Maybe then, you know, to your point where you're building out courses or programs, those people can, you know, they could be your beta group, but then also you got real life meetups, right? So maybe if you're traveling around or you have quarterly meetups, monthly meetups, I think that is a really cool opportunity because now not only are you doing something for people that, you know, really like your podcast, you're giving them another opportunity to kind of like, you know, invest or take a little bit more ownership, but also you're creating that subscription revenue, right? That money that you can count on. And you don't need a lot of people. There's a lot of podcast entrepreneurs that are not making at least $1,000. But if you have a community that's $99 a month, that's only about, what, 10, 11 people?
Yep.
And you're good to go.
Yep.
Right? And maybe if you have a little bit of fear or, because I do run across people like, why would they pay $99? But if it's $49, then we're just talking about 20 people.
Yeah.
Right? And if you have a YouTube channel or a podcast and you're getting 100 downloads or, you know, 70 people or just listening or whatever, you can get 7 to 10 people out of that small group that may want to pay you that $49 or $99. So that becomes really, really interesting. And you really just go after one person at a time and you can start predicting that monthly revenue.
Yeah. And I think where one of the most important strategies, like leaning into that, is you want to get your market message match right. You want to figure out who your target audience is. And let me give you one example. Like if people think, oh, who would pay $100 a month? Mm. Like you're projecting some of your money mindsets, and you also could be looking at the wrong audience. So imagine you also might think, oh, it's too crowded to teach podcasting. It's too crowded to teach YouTube. So what if you actually created a brand though that was social media and video marketing strategies for chiropractors? The number one chiropractor social media marketing podcast in the world. I don't even know if it exists.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it's word of mouth starts spreading where chiropractors can use social media and video marketing to get more clients, leads, customers, and sales.
100% there.
So then you start realizing that there's hundreds of thousands of chiropractors just in America. They have a good lucrative business. You're offering them something that attributes just to the bottom line. You also are going to be talking to an audience where everyone feels all this pressure, like they need to come up with the most ninja, freaking craziest tips. They have to be on the bleeding edge, because if you're really deep like you and I are, to stand out, you've got to be that good. Yeah. You start going to marketers across America, chiropractors across America, dude, they don't know anything. So you start giving them a deeper community where you're like, here's how you open Instagram. Here's how you create a reel. But then because you understand their industry, you, of course, want to have the real chops to help them get customers, clients, leads, and sales. And so $100, so 100 chiropractors, you know, paying $100, what's the math on that?
Is that 10 grand?
10 grand. And so...
That's a six-figure business. Entrepreneur. Yep.
Yeah. And so you would never need you don't need a huge audience. You also are able to speak to, again, just one pain point. The information is now super specialized. It's not generalized. Whereas people love the Think Media podcast, all about YouTube strategy and whatnot. And I try to talk, I'm talking to creators and real estate and loan officers and chiropractors. And the best practices of YouTube transcend. But when you start, it also gives you so much clarity to what you're doing. You start just realizing like, okay, this is more of a local market. And the strategies, there's a lot of strategies I wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
Because I'm not necessarily speaking to a lot of like local show up in DMs, Instagram strategies to convert customers. But you do something like that. That right there, the long tail of opportunity to do that in all kinds of different niches, to think about local businesses in certain areas and businesses like that, is massive. And then you start realizing that $100 a month for a chiropractor in business is no big deal at all. And that becomes the game changer. The new person who's like, this is all foundational. This is all your niche, your target at your avatar, your target customer. This is your business model. And so people get that wrong and then they're frustrated because they're not even sure what it is they're trying to build or whatever.
Yeah, which is that foundation.
It's that foundation.
That self-awareness.
But you get that right, it changes everything. And that's where, again, a lot of people are over here trying to go viral, where that business would probably never go viral.
Mm.
The chiropractor social media coach,
yeah.
But that over time could probably be a $1 million business.
Yeah, because the people over here are going viral with the expectation that they want the $1 million business, where you could just stay really, really niche and pay attention to that audience that actually needs you,
yep.
Be under the radar like we were talking about earlier,
yep.
And actually have that $1 million.
Yeah, and I think that brings up some things to the surface where some of it is ego. A lot of us are getting to social media to just try to get the followers, get the views, and are you okay almost never being known?
Yeah.
Like if you're going after ego, then that's something you probably want to deal with, because that's going to be a vulnerability to you as an entrepreneur.
It's going to be a bottom.
That's, by the way, if you want to be famous and grow, well, like just at least be self-aware as to what you're after. But if you could get rid of the ego, and then if you also can do the hard work of really getting into business viability, studying the TAM, total addressable market, studying Blue Ocean, thinking about, where is the opportunity? Opportunities are like buses. There's new ones every day. And there are unlimited opportunities in this space. And that right there, I will go toe-to-toe with every critic that's like, it's too crowded, it's too late. It is if you are playing the game like everybody else.
Like everyone else, yeah, facts.
But when you flank and you don't just run into battle and get slaughtered, but you just flank the whole thing and carve out your segment of the market, opportunities are endless in this space right now.
I would agree with you totally on that, man. I'm very happy you said that, man, because if you think about it, if you're listening right now, you could be the individual, right, that not only builds out the community, but like if we stay with the chiropractor, build the podcast for the chiropractor. Right. You can host it.
Yeah.
They could sponsor the podcast. Yeah. Right. So now they're going to get promo in between. Right. Now they can send that out in their monthly or weekly emails, whatever that's, you know, going on. The information in there could literally be like FAQs to what people are asking for that particular chiropractor. And when they have new people that are like, well, I'm not really sure, you know, if I want to work with you or whatever the case may be, they could send them episode 17.
Yep.
Right. And that 30 minutes could warm them up with the call to actions, and then they'll come right back to you.
Get them ready. I know I was going to a chiropractor in Vegas too. So like even as not only are you getting customers, but even how you ascend them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that guy had all other kind of services, massage therapists working, other grass didn't he do to you, other like STEM things and all kinds of, a little biohacking guy. Punchline is, as we start going off on this idea, it could be an 8-figure business. Because now the agency models.
Yep.
Of hosting podcasts for them, helping them launch stuff. Like, and again, your selection of your audience, of who you serve. If you pick, if your target audience is broke people, your business is probably going to struggle because their ability to even spend money is capped.
So the vehicle.
The vehicle.
Yeah.
But if your target audience is chiropractors with a $150,000 to $400,000 a year business, that you also are going to be able to help them. It's going to be a lot easier to get them from 175 to 325. And if you could even have results-based compensation, somewhat correlated to the way they work with you at different levels. Now, mind you, this is why people got to hire you, because like there's a level of sophistication and chops people got to develop, because we just started talking about like you're doing a podcast and whatnot. Now we're talking about biz ops and leadership and systems and teams. Yeah. But there's some things you could do. Again, you just get into just simply education, maybe a course, something relatively simple to put together, and a small team or just you and some assistants to put together to build a six-figure business and just focus on information for a very niche group of people. It's a worn out phrase, but the phrase "the riches are in the niches" is so true.
Yeah,
like so yeah.
So before we kind of wrap it up here, right? One of the things that inspired me before we actually started going into this conversation, right? You and I were talking about like biz and organization, right? We talked about like Gino Wickman and just the EOS system, just set up the org chart and the org and the value ascension and stuff like that. How important is that for, even YouTube entrepreneurs that maybe they do have a successful YouTube, business right now, right? Channels move really, really well, but they're literally tied to it, right? They're in their business. How do they now step out of that, you know, with some of this information and now can actually create something that is there? They can start maybe enjoying their life a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a weird place because I'm thinking about this a lot, and these are the questions I'm asking myself that everybody listening to this should ask. You got to really have self-awareness. Like, what is it you really want to build? What are you building?
Well, are you just building?
Yeah, are you just building? Yeah, you're just trying to, and I've been through these. Yeah. You're just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You might. How'd you even get here? That's how people might feel. I don't even know how I got here. I've, you know, as an entrepreneur, I gave up working a 9 to 5 to now work 5 to 9. You know, I was working a 9 to 5 for somebody else. Now I work for myself, and I work 60 to 80 hour weeks instead of 40. And I have freedom and autonomy, but like, no, I don't actually, and I'm tied to my business. You know, there's a recent person in our industry who just shut down everything she was doing, had like 9 team members, fired 8 of them.
You talk about Vanessa Lau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
I like her a lot.
Closed down all her programs, closed down all her stuff. And so it would seem she did a great post about it that she encountered self-awareness, but she also, what it's fascinating is a deep question, because I think what I also think that 99% of YouTube creators that got successful, I don't think any of them started out thinking they're going to build a media company or thinking that they're even really going to build a company.
That's a really good point.
They just started out to see, like, would this work? Could I make money from my passion? And then they started to, and they're like, this is pretty cool. Could I do this more? And so it's a little bit different. It's not like people probably didn't go to business school, think about buying a Subway franchise and then hiring staff and then... It's a reverse approach. My friend Roberto Blake calls it being an accidental entrepreneur.
Mm.
People don't even, a lot of times you don't even think of yourself as an entrepreneur. Some do, but you just were like, okay, there's opportunity to like make videos and maybe monetize them. You know, there's opportunity to start a podcast for fun. And maybe all the way back when Gary Vaynerchuk wrote Crush It was, why now is the time to turn your passion, to cash in on your passion? Why now is the time to cash in on your passion? Cool. So you start making money from your passion, but then what happens is it gets complex and you're like, there ain't no passion in this anymore. Like, this is, you know, it's tiring. I'm getting burnt out. Burnout is super commonplace. So I love the question that you're asking. The reason I bring it up is because as far as getting really clear on what you want and who you are and what your strengths are and they aren't, I'm a huge believer in people. I believe people can they're underselling their talents, abilities, majority of the time. I believe majority of people are not living up to their potential, and there's a lot more depth. Saying that, there is aptitude limits on individuals. Like, what is your real potential to grow? And here's exactly what I mean. John Maxwell teaches a concept called the law of the lid, that whatever your leadership ability on a scale from 1 to 10 will be the level of leaders you attract underneath you and how the ability to retain leaders. So if you're a level 6 leader, after time passes, you will never have 7s, 8s, 9s, and 10s stick with your organization for a length of time. They will always leave if you're a level 6 leader. If you're a level 6 leader, you can have level 5s, 4s, and 3s underneath you.
Yeah.
And if you're a level 6 leader, you can become a level probably 7 and maybe 8, but you probably will never become a 9 or a 10. It's just there's a lid even on your own ability. Like there's a level, I believe everybody can go a lot further than most do. But level 3 leaders don't become level 10 leaders. Mm. It's just like a natural aptitude. Let me take it even a step further. I just read a stat that when it comes to studying colleges and universities, what they discovered, that it doesn't even matter what school do you go to. It matters the aptitude of the person.
Yeah, yeah.
That if your aptitude, your leadership ability, your knowledge in a certain area, whether you go to Yale or some local community college, your aptitude, they went to school in either case. They got the same they got maybe different information.
Relatively,
they got this. They got information and education, but their aptitude determined how far they went. So to circle all the way back to the person who's like now trying to build a business around the thing that they're doing, I think it's about having a level of self-awareness of, do you still want to do this, where this is going? And then it's ask yourself the question, I would say this, who do you need to become to really support the vision that you have for where your company is
going? So now we're talking about identity.
Yeah, who do you need to become? And so I think about my own journey. I know this. I've had to change a lot. I've had to give up a lot of the things I was doing. The law of sacrifice, in order to go up, you need to give up.
Yeah.
Leadership's also a pain thing. How much pain do you want to embrace? You know, running a company is seriously not for the faint of heart. And somebody who started out wanting to be a creator, being a creator versus running a company,
two different things.
And so a lot of times people can find themselves in a precarious spot. If you would say, Sean, my self-awareness is this, I'm willing to change. Bring on the pain, bring on the sacrifice, and I want to take this thing to the moon, and I'm willing to be humble, learn, and grow and transform into a new person. And wise people in my life see those abilities in me as well. I'm not just you know, shoot for the sky and not just talk is cheap, but my action doesn't show it up. I'm really going to follow through. Then what I would say is your commitment has got to be to insane levels of learning and personal development. So
that's a mantra. You just gave a whole mantra right there. You can literally like recite that in the morning and at night.
and I would, you got to read the E-Myth,
yep. You
know, which is a good one. Like founders are usually not good at being entrepreneurs. So you read the E-Myth, you got to get around, you got to get in masterminds or get in business environments around leaders that will level you up. You should ask people around you. The other day I was in San Diego walking with Kyle, and I said, what would you tell me as a leader? And he's one of our team directors. If you knew I wouldn't get offended.
That's a crazy question.
What do I need to know? What am I not seeing? What are my blind spots? Today on our team directors meeting, I was on a meeting with this agency we're working with, and I kind of went off I was completely blind to this, but the more empathetic team members of our team, Jordan and Sonia specifically, brought some stuff up that I didn't see. So now I'm circling back to have a reparative conversation. Not that anything's necessarily wrong, but just to be that at this higher level of like, hey, I may have said some things wrong in this meeting, and Sonia and Jordan brought some things to my attention in terms of the way I communicated. And I brought that up to them. Do you think that'd be a good idea? They said, I think that'd be a great idea. And so basically me humbling myself to this person just to make sure the relationship's up and up And then also to seek wisdom from that individual in terms of how I could be a better communicator. Mm-hmm. So it's like you want to set yourself on the path. There's levels to the game. And as you go to higher levels, it's harder boss fights, you know, and you've got to be skilling up and leveling up at a freakish level. So we talked off camera, too, about how I don't even really also, I don't love the term CEO for myself. Mm. I love the term founder. And the skill set needed to be a founder is different than the skill set that is needed to be a CEO. The greatest threat to an organization scaling is the founder. The greatest asset to an organization reaching viability, monetizing in the beginning, getting off the ground is the founder. And then the greatest vulnerability, though, to going to the next level is that same founder, because what got you here will not get you there. And so having the self-awareness and humility to either change or to back off or to hire around your skill sets. And you got to slay dragons that are in your life, like insecurity, like ego, like maybe some things that are pulling down your leadership credibility. And so it's a lot, it's a full stack. And so I've said a lot, but the reason I said I'm thinking so deeply about this stuff is I'm realizing that, like, to be blunt from my perspective, it's a small percentage of people that want to do, a very small percentage of people. And that's okay. I think that the unlock would be like, dang, everything Sean just said does not sound like, you know, something I want to really embrace. I would, maybe I want to shrink my business down a little bit. Not enough people are talking about that. Everyone's saying scale. Scaling, and that's maybe why Vanessa Lau, as you mentioned, like she might have been on some, it sounded like she was on a trajectory that was not, that she did not want to be on. So everything around her, add more, do more, build this thing, do that. I don't know if that was external pressure, but that'd be the wrong way, the wrong pressure to be leaning into. It's going internal perspective, not external pressure, internal perspective of what do I want to build? Who do I want to be? There's a really good book called Predictable Success by, I think, Les McCowan or something like that. And it does talk about, first, it's survival. That's where everyone.
Yeah.
Then it's like rough water. And then eventually it's predictable success. Oh, no, it's survival. Then it's like, dude, we're making money and the margins are pretty good. Because you get it, especially in this industry, where you're like, I could pay some stuff, but like, oh, we got money now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw your Tesla outside. Yeah, you got, you know, it's wrapped. You got these powder-coated calipers on and stuff. Like, man, things are good. But now you want to go to the next level. Then it's like you're taking on $1 million, $2 million in staff is what, like, Think Media has got going, you know. Dude, that's freaking nuts.
Yeah. Like, knowing that that's the payroll.
Dude, yeah, that's payroll. Yeah. I'm a small-town kid, college dropout, bro. Yeah. You got $2 million in payroll? Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's freaking dumb.
Yeah.
And so then it's like you go from survival to, like, life's pretty good to what's called rough water. And the goal, if you don't get through that, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
And you got to get to predictable success. But what he actually teaches in the book is it's okay to go back down. It's okay to not push towards.
You don't have to go that way.
You don't have to go to, like, I want to run a bigger company and hire more people. So even where we are.
That really doesn't end either. It just keeps going.
And even us being at 16 W-2 employees, it's an interest. Do we go up? Because now we have, like, more money, more problems. But like on the Drake 21 album, he's like, more money, more problems. Bring on the problems.
Yeah, bring on the problems.
Bring on the problems. Like,
problem.
You got to decide. Yeah, that's actually,
which one you want.
There's the filter. Like, 21 and Drake defined it for us.
Perspective.
Do you want to bring on the problems, though? Yeah. Or do you want to actually lessen the problems, simplify the model, simplify the business, crucify the ego? Because while everyone else, maybe some, not even everyone else, but like while other people are blowing things up, you have the self-awareness to, like, no, I'm kind of cool. Maybe I'm not, you know, getting plaques and records and, you know, I have the biggest event or the biggest thing or the biggest this or, but like, I got a really healthy business and it's something that is healthy. So, like, do I want to press forward or do I want to not settle? Because if, you know, you either grow or die, but like, just define where it is. So that's a lot of deep, this is a deep conversation. I appreciate you bringing up some of these questions just to, I haven't really processed some of these things.
Yeah.
But it's a lot to think about. And it's a lot of soul searching. Get some wise people in your life, some people you could process this with.
And don't be afraid to invest in that either.
Yeah. And I think actually spending a lot of time processing it, You know, there's a proverb that says, you know, plan succeed with a multitude of counsel. Or if you're going to go to war, get a multitude of counselors first. And so this is some stuff, you know, you don't need to make hasty decisions. Like if you got to a place where you're making six figures, multiple six figures, you're making seven figures, take a second to just take a breath and be like, wow, you know, look at where I am, look at what I've built. But then that law of navigation of where you go from here is a deep conversation that you want to architect. Because if you're going to launch to the moon, there's a reason when SpaceX launches to the moon or NASA launches to the moon, they don't just set the coordinates, launch the rocket, and it reaches the moon. They are constantly making adjustments along the way. Or else they would be off. Even 1 degree of being off is going to mean they're going to completely miss their destination, die, and freeze in space. Mm. And so what's shocking about a lot of accidental YouTube entrepreneurs is they launch the rocket, they're just trying to keep up with the day-to-day, but too many of them are dying and freezing in space because they're not making adjustments along the way, having kind of a foresight, getting advice, getting wisdom to really think through things. That these 1 degree tweaks matter. Decisions you make today, decisions to delegate, hire, and plan, or else, if delegate or die. If you don't delegate, get some systems in place today, your business is going to kill you in 6 to 12 months.
100%.
What's up, yo? If you're watching this right now, or you're a podcaster, right? And you want to monetize your podcast without brand deals, sponsorships, or a large audience, or maybe you just don't know how. My name is Brendan Boyd, and I can show you how to do that. Most people think you need a large audience, or you need sponsorships, or you need brand deals. But I'm telling you right now, you can make $5,000 to $10,000 every single month with your podcast without any of that stuff. All I need you to do is click the link below, grab my 100K podcast program completely for free, go through the course, and I'll learn the gems that can change your podcast and put you in the right position. All right? I'll see you on the inside.
One thing that I noticed from you, right? Like, it's like one of the nuances, I would say. And I feel like people probably pick it up too as well, right? Is originally we were talking about going deep, right? But to go deep, you have to have, you know, a level of subject matter, right? You have to obviously, you know, invest in personal development, invest in leveling yourself up. So what does that look like for you? You know what I mean? Do you have an early start that's like a Sean time, right? Maybe it's an hour or 2 hours. You really, you know, doing your process. Maybe there's some reading in there. Maybe there's some audio books in there. You know, maybe there's a walk going on in there. Is it like a solo day you have going on during the week, right? You know, is it like a retreat that maybe you take, you know, you and your wife on the family, you kind of like go do your thing? Or maybe is it something right before night? What does that time look like for you? So that's one of the things I noticed. But let's talk about your own personal development.
You know, I know there's 1 or 2% of highly successful people would say they don't read. But I would say 98% of people, if you're not reading, you're not even a leader. You're just not. Like, So I think, and some people used to read, and people are like, oh, audiobooks. And I know that these days it could be blogs and maybe YouTube videos. But I want to take it back, like, no, reading, a physical book. See, there's a reason CEOs, real stat, CEOs read 52 books a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real stat.
Yeah, so it's like, so maybe you could be a leader at different levels, but if 99% of people listening to this are founders of their own podcast, you should be reading. And for me, and hitting, I can tell you my routine, but things I've heard along the way, people who started well, I've attended events with them and they said, yeah, I don't take notes anymore. It's a real quote from somebody. And I was like, what? And they were kind of like, yeah, you know, I've heard this before. And I take notes in every session I sit in, whether it's a conference or whether it's church, even if I've heard it before. Because repetition is the father of learning and the mother of mastery.
Facts.
So if I want to be pursuing mastery, I take ongoing learning seriously. And even if, again, I think it's just weird. Ego can creep on where you lose that beginner's mentality. You lose that humility that you had at the start. And so the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is today's success. So for me, it's reading. Morning routine, like I got up today, I try to get outside, get fresh air, walk around the block, drink bone broth first so I get electrolytes and some good nutrition, then drink a lot of water, then drink coffee, pray and read the Bible first. I'm reading a book called Decisive right now, How to Make Better Decisions. Mm-hmm. So always reading different books. And then invest, being a part of different groups. This last week I spoke at it, but I was in a mastermind group, a 2-day event all about growing business. And the session before me was on 7 specific things to do in Facebook ads and Meta ads right now. Like real, like we're doing a couple $1 million in how much we spend on ads a year. And we're at a pretty high sophisticated level. But if you're gonna do that well, you gotta always be learning, tweaking, learning new things. So even as I sat in that session, I was like, whoa. Like even, like we like to say this too about people who join our team. Think Media is where the best come to get better. And so I think it's that mentality of like, you're already world-class. You're already the best. We have a thing in our culture where after we win the game, we go in the locker room, celebrate wins, and then talk about everything that went wrong.
Yeah.
So it's, I think that's kind of a mentality. I think
that's the mama mentality.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's the mama mentality. Kaizen is the Japanese business concept of continuous improvement and just always making tweaks. So that's what it is. I think it's just, John Maxwell, I think, says that leadership you don't grow into a leader in a day, but you grow as a leader every day.
Mm.
So it's just every single day, listen to something, read something. I do some biohacking stuff. I stand in front of a red light. I got a PEMF mat. But if I'm sitting, I fill idle time or with podcasts, with audiobooks, with YouTube videos.
That's what we did, like the whole writer pair. I had 2 audiobooks going.
Yeah. And I think that, at the higher levels for growth, though, is you need like strong voices in your life that will call you on your BS.
Mm.
Like that becomes the hack. Because the problem with the book is you're only getting whatever you're getting. Or the problem with the virtual event is you're taking notes, but information's flowing one way. Where things really get interesting is where someone can call you out. So, you know, I think as you get more money, you should reinvest that money. The greatest asset will always be yourself. So reinvest it back into yourself, which would look in terms of like coaching and people actually sometimes wonder, like, why are these masterminds or something so expensive, or why is coaching so expensive? Well, it should be. Some people, it's too expensive and they're just marketing hype. Others, it's because that individual's time is literally worth that from their main company. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm a part of an executive coaching thing that is, I think it's $5,000 a month. It's a lot of money, you know. And what is that in a year? $60,000. I think I get a discount because I pay a year in advance. I save a little money, you know. Best thing I could ever get, not just because of the information there. In a way, the information I could get, I promise you, I could get that information in a $20 book, but not contextualized to me.
And not with the network.
Yeah, not with the network. And contextualized to me where they hear what I'm going through, the exact moment that I'm in, with the exact prescription. And I wouldn't recommend that for most people. But as you go to higher levels, there's way too many people take this detour of they reach a level of success and either the hunger stops or they settle or they get complacent. Like, it's just continuous. And it's seasonal. I mean, right now, I am probably crushing 1 or 2 books a week. But you get in a busy season where I won't, like, read for a month. Like, whatever. I think it's way more about, like, the longer journey, like, the decade journey, than it is about any week or month. If you try to do everything all at once, I'm focusing a little bit extra on my health right now, a little bit extra on a family. We have young kids. And then the business. And so you can't do everything all at once as far as, I think it's being thoughtful about that. But yeah, it's ongoing Mamba mentality, man. Kaizen, continuous learning.
And then you're speaking, right? So like very articulate, you know, good frequency, good range, good tonality, very commanding, right? And I feel like that's something that in the content, it comes off that way, which I feel like is very attractive to like a viewer or a listener, right? So what has helped you even be a better speaker over time?
I think if you want to grow in anyone's skill, the first decision to make is to actually make the decision that I want to grow in the skill. That might seem obvious, but like, I think for some people have it planted that flag.
That decision
in a serious way. And I don't mean like you watched that Netflix show called like the Queen of Chess or whatever it was, right? And then you're like, oh, I think I want to be a chess master. Well, everybody did for 5 minutes after the show.
Yeah.
If people...
Everybody wants to be a superhero.
Everybody,
after,
right?
After Marvel.
After a Marvel movie. or people watch The Last Dance, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I actually want to get into basketball.
Yeah,
it's a whole different thing than watching The Last Dance and being like, I think I want to start getting, you know, back into hoops, as opposed to like, I want to be world class, even if it's just in my like local league, you know, by playing with my friends. So we're all guilty of we watch the new golf Full Swing on Netflix. We're like, I'm going to be a golf pro. You know, I'm going to crush all the other business. Like, making the decision and then having the relentless, continuous pursuit of growth and mastery in that area. This is a great example that ties back into the last point. I just bought John Maxwell's book, 16 Laws of Communication. Now, I'm not asking for like a trophy or a reward, but let's tie it back. I listened to him talk about the first 4 points. I knew all 4 points.
Mm.
Like the first 4 that he talked about in the hour promoting the book, I actually was not surprised with something new. I'm not saying I didn't learn anything. There was already nuances on it, but I think that's the difference. I mean, I don't want to sound too self-referential here, but like I'm already a pretty good communicator and I'm going to read a book on communication still.
Yes.
And so where again, most would be like, I've already arrived. I think it's just going back to the grindstone and continuing. And it's that repetition piece. The biggest one for this though has been also then once you made the decision, then compound, then stack up different ways you can attack learning that problem. Read books, buy programs, study great communicators, listen to TED Talks, listen and take notes, not just practice, but deliberate practice. Film yourself, watch back your own game tape, watch back your own videos, watch back your own video podcast, find an opportunity to speak on stage, speak for free, watch back the game tape. If they don't even have a videographer,
bring your own,
study what happened, have somebody else review it, hire somebody else to review it if you can, join programs that'll help you be a better communicator. And last week, I listened to my friend Pete Vargas talk for 3 hours on communication. He teaches a story braid framework. I've heard it like 10 times. I heard him say it again though, and I was like, oh, that nuance.
Hmm.
Oh, that detail. I heard him talk during these 3 hours. And by the way, during these 3 hours, I was like at home, kind of like home gym. It's like working out, stretching. Like I'm doing some other things, but I'm still picking up details.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate you saying I'm a decent communicator, but even—
A little bit better than decent.
Even once you get to—
That's the humility right there.
Once you get to a level though, it's like, nah, man, beginner's mentality always. Like coming back to where I just want to continue to sharpen it. And if anything, I also think too, you can lose territory. We can all get gains in the gym, but take some time off and start eating raw, and the gains you got, you could go backwards. So even just staying sharp, maintaining things, little tweaks, little nuances, I think those are some things that have helped me. And the proximity principle, which was before everything I'm doing today, trying to put myself into positions, like I got to work at a church, I got to work for different freelance clients, and I got to study under great communicators. Of course, it was, so if possible, while you have a job or a career, try to pick places that will grow you by proximity. So I got to be around Benny Perez, who was getting invited to speak all over the world and all this stuff. And my job was to sit in church on Sunday and listen to him, was to film him in videos, was to listen and watch what he did, was to travel with him and film him speaking, and doors that opened to do that for others. I wasn't there. Of course, I had to pay my bills, but money was not what I was interested in. I was into wisdom. I wanted to grow. I was into learning. I think when you prize wisdom first, wisdom will promote you. When you grow in wisdom, long life and honor and prosperity and finances and open doors and influence is on the back end of wisdom. People chase money.
I agree with that.
And I think that it's the higher target would not be chasing money, it's chase experience, skill, wisdom. Because now you're not just, people that are chasing money are chasing fish, where it's like, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. If you're just chasing money, you get money, but money will go away. If you learn how to fish, you get wisdom, you can print money whenever you want to.
Fine.
And even if you lose all your money, you'll be able to get it back again.
Yep.
And so I think prizing wisdom and skill and tapping into the proximity principle of trying to get around people who will level you up, iron sharpens iron, help you hone your skill, then you're going to be unstoppable.
Man, this has been a great episode, man. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
So many gems, man. So many lessons. I feel like if you're watching this right now, if you're listening to this, I know you got something, right? There was something there for you and you and you, man. So how can they get in contact with you? You know, is VRA the thing that they want to tap into? You know, what's the best way somebody watching, listening can tap into you and work with Think Media?
Man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, if people want to check me out on social media, Sean Cannell rhymes with YouTube channel. And SEANCANNELL all across the platforms. You can subscribe to Think Media on YouTube. It's kind of like a free YouTube and video college, really.
It really is.
And it's a team of creators now with camera, video editing, accessorize your smartphone, pick out a good camera, figure out lighting, and really YouTube tips, but online video tips. Wrote a book, YouTube Secrets. So anybody, we're talking about reading physical ebook or audiobooks all on Amazon. Yeah, and if people want to check out VRA, that's our YouTube course. It's pretty affordable right now. We actually are going to have to raise the price, and we're restructuring some things because we do have a whole faculty. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would argue it's the greatest YouTube course in the world. You could find even similar information perhaps elsewhere, but I know of zero programs that have the support, the team. We just desperately care about our students winning and just... offering something that's truly remarkable. So it's not just me. We're supporting it with the team and staff. So people can check that out. Joinvra.com is the best way to check that out if people want to research that.
And congratulations on the gold play button, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're about to, this week or next week, we'll probably get another silver one for Think Media Podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's at 97,000. So
listen, man, make sure you guys check out Think Media and Think Media Podcast. Check out my guy, Sean Cannell, Rhymes with Channel. And we'll see you guys on another episode of the podcast. Peace.